This is John Bruton. You're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hernando Diablo.
Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hernando Diablo.
And this week, we're taking on the world of advertising. Yet again, not quite the media, but very influential in your day-to-day life. Joining us this week is actor, stand-up comedian, and member of the Sad Boys Social Club, Nick Urich.
How's it going?
Nick, thank you so much for coming on today.
Happy to be here.
Fourth member of the Sad Boys to be on our show. Five, if you count you. But
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know I was part of a proud tradition now.
Yep. Well, Sam started that tradition at number one.
Yeah. Sam was first one on, and then we had Tabitha, and we had Mike.
Yep.
We'll get everybody on. I mean, you know, this is a very nepotistic booking process.
Yeah. I mean,
if you know who we're friends with, it's not
that hard
to tell.
I can't complain about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Nick, why do you hate the phrase world famous?
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I made it through the first 2.5 decades or so of my life having no opinion on this phrase whatsoever. And to kind of get back to the origins of it, there's a textbook example of why I shouldn't have a job where I drive around just stewing about things all night, because... It started a couple years ago when I was a delivery driver for Papa John's, and yeah, you know, I'd drive around all night listening to the radio because the CD player in my car doesn't work, and working the iPod transmitter I got at the dollar store was too much of a hassle sometimes. But the first thing that hit me was when I'd hear those commercials for the world famous Bedford Auto Mile.
Yeah.
And like, hearing that enough times and, you know, being forced to think about it in my car for so long, it's like, fuck you. You're not... I mean, are people in Japan talking about the Bedford Auto Mile? Like, and it just kind of built
maybe
from
the
there.
People selling them the cars.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the only way it could be world famous is, yeah, like, if Toyota executives are like, come on, make more Corollas, sell on the Bedford Auto Mile. And
we need to get this to the world famous Bedford Auto Mile now.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't help but think too, like, I mean, I grew up 5 hours from here. It's like, you know, it's not even like regionally famous. And it's like, is that your attempt at, you know, mattering? And
you know, does Mike D'Amato call himself world famous?
I don't think Mike D'Amato mentions the world famous Bedford Auto Mile at all. Or it's, I mean, he's got enough going on. Larry Fu Manchupa is gone. And these are some Cleveland-centric advertising references for those of you listening in Chicago, Detroit, L.A., New York, and everywhere else.
Possibly West Virginia soon.
Japan.
Japan.
Right.
We're world famous.
we're more world famous than the Bedford Auto Mile.
That's the thing. It's like, and I mean, I get it. We're all struggling to be somebody important to someone, but it's like, do you really need to just ratchet up to, people even in the most depressing parts of Africa know about the shit that we're doing?
Yes, I can see it now. The armies of child soldiers, oftentimes they're confronted by missionaries who talk to them of a promised future working at the world famous Bedford Auto Mile.
Well, too, like, you know, I mean, I don't want to focus too much on the Bedford Auto Mile. That was just like the impetus for, you know, this particular hatred. But, you know, then I notice at other places, like, even, you know, people with their world famous sandwiches. It's like, oh, are your sandwiches famous in, you know, Somalia where they haven't even heard of sandwiches?
No, but Subway is. And if it's world famous for being shitty, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's kind of the irony. It's easier to be world famous by being shitty. Because, you know, when you think about...
Why we're world famous?
That's why.
Well, I mean, think about, though, I mean... You know, who or what is truly world famous at this point? I mean, you know, Donald Trump is right now. You know, the Pope normally is. I mean, even though I like this Pope better than most, still...
Him better than the Nazi Pope?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not hard to like him better than the Nazi Pope. But still, yeah, the Nazi Pope was world famous. And, you know, the hundreds of years of, you know, popes who... you know, thought you would go to hell if you conducted a sermon not in Latin. You know, those guys were world famous too.
Yep. And then Vatican II came along, and all of a sudden people were like, now that I understand what's being said,
yeah. But no, that's what I was going to say. I was like, no wonder they wanted them to do it in Latin. They're like, we just need to keep these people at bay. Let them, you know, just let them think they know what we're saying, but really...
I mean, I'll be honest, like, I took Latin for 3 years in high school, and everything sounds better in Latin. Like, I mean, the Roman Empire wouldn't have gotten away with half the shit that it did if they were, you know, speaking a different language.
A more guttural Germanic language.
I was going to say, could you imagine, Caesar saying, I came, I saw, I conquered in German?
Like, I mean, where's Bob Kinner when you fucking need him?
Well, yeah. That's...
I don't speak German.
Yeah, he does. That's.
I was like, I imagine, you know, if instead of Vinny Vidi Vici had been, you know, again, I don't speak German either. But yeah. I mean, if Caesar had said the German version of that, I think they would have seen Hitler coming a decade or so earlier. It's like a guy talking like this, talking about conquering. Yeah, that's not going to turn out well.
Do you think that's why people don't look as harshly on Benito Mussolini, because he was speaking a romance language when he was...
killing people?
Yeah.
You know, I got to be honest, I never thought of that, but yeah, I mean, he kind of gets, you know, swept under the rug of, you know, the genocidal debacle that was World War II, but... I mean, admittedly, he was less successful than Hitler, but... Yeah, I think, well, and too, like, he started his reign in 1922, so he lasted, you know, a decade and a half longer than Hitler. Yeah, I mean, maybe having a nicer sounding language.
Mussolini didn't off himself.
Oh, no, that was a victory for the Italian proletariat.
People.
Yeah, hanging him and his mistress upside down in the Piazza Venezia, which is...
Sounds so beautiful.
It's a lovely language. And yeah, like, phrases like that are so much fun to say.
Well, then you had, like, Stalin, who, I mean, Russian is also... Like, I like the language, you know, like, Russian language, but, like, it's not very... It sounds intimidating. So, like, when he was, you know, having his generals just mow down his own fucking people that didn't want to fight for him, you know, it's also... And he was on our side, apparently. Yeah. Supposedly.
Well, again, too, all three of those guys, Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin, were world famous.
They were.
Like, I mean, and that's another reason, you know, I realize the phrase is kind of awful, because really the only truly world famous people
are assholes.
Yeah. I mean, they get through being terrible things. So it's like, okay, Bedford Auto Mile or, you know, Dave's Sandwiches or wherever, you know, how many people are you going to kill to really really get this title going?
To really shove these sandwiches down people's throats.
I can imagine Dave's Cosmic Subs going on a war.
I knew there was some Dave's Sandwich, which, yeah, admittedly, I like those subs.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're good, actually. Yeah, I wouldn't call them world famous.
I mean,
more nice things to say about Dave Cosmic Subs until they fucking pay us. So,
all right. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize there was...
They're not that world famous.
Outstanding debt here.
There's, like, the only thing I had coming into this, like, when I found out what we were going to talk about was there's a place in Parma called... It's like a Valero gas station.
Yeah.
And they have, like, a food place in there, and it's actually good. Yeah. Like, everything's good in there. It's, like, legitimate. They spend the money on good ingredients, but they have a fucking sign outside that says world famous locally.
I mean, I will say that Valero is one of the more underrated gas stations. You know, like, as a poor person on the go, I'm a connoisseur of gas station food. And yeah, Valero doesn't get the credit that, say, a Sheetz or a Speedway does.
Isn't Valero one of those coming from Venezuela gas stations, though?
That's very likely, now that you mention it.
The first Valero I ever saw was on the way down to Columbus, like in the middle of Cleveland and Columbus. I can't remember.
Yeah, see, I hadn't even seen any of them till I moved up here, and yeah, I know there's one, like, right up West 130th, and yep, a few on the east side.
Well, yeah, like, it's called, like, Yorktown Subs in there, and it's, like, they have a full kitchen in there.
Yeah.
And it says world famous, locally, so I wanted to know, what's your take on that? Mm-hmm. It's a bad joke. But they're also like, oh, we're not world famous.
I could actually appreciate that because, you know, they at least, they understand the power of world famous, but, you know, they're at least qualifying it.
Yeah. It seems like the phrase is just used to give something shitty some legitimacy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, not to say that Yorktown Valero is shitty.
It's because, not.
No, when I used to have to pick Jordan up from his work to come, I would eat at that Valero, and it was like, all right.
I mean, one could say it's the Stalin of subs.
Yeah. See, I think there's where you should be going with your advertising. Like the Stalin of subs. The Mussolini of meatballs. The Hitler of hoagies. The Franco of footlongs. The Pol Pot of pot roast.
I feel like we're playing how many dictators can Jeremy name in a drop of a hat.
Kim Chi Jong-un.
The Pinochet of paninis.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a...
You know what?
Yeah, they again, would... I'm trying to acknowledge all corners of the world.
Yeah,
so yeah,
that's good for you. Jeez. Yeah. You know what? Paninis might still be around more if they were the Pinochet of paninis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'd have no choice to be, because that's how Pinochet rolled.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, so you see, most often I see the phrase world famous, it has to do with, like, just a generic product that you can find pretty much anywhere, but in order to differentiate themselves from the rest of the pack, they're world famous. Like, not old-fashioned hot dogs, but the hot dog shop in Warren is world famous.
Right.
And, you know, it's definitely regionally famous, but, you know, I'm not sure if there should be a vetting process before, like, you know, in order to be, like, a world record holder, Guinness has to come and vet you.
Right.
So what should be the process here? If you're going to call yourself world famous, what should you have to do?
Well, that's where it becomes kind of a sticky subject, because, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a fan of free speech, obviously, but it's like, I guess it's more like asking people, you know, show some restraint, like, think about what this actually means, like, because most often, like, when someone says world famous, really they mean, like, famous among white people. Like,
yeah.
It usually reflects, like, you know, a Western, you know, America, Eurocentric viewpoint. It's like, again, like, I don't know if you guys have seen, you know, that picture that comes up online every so often. It's, you know, usually in, like, those, you know, posts where it's, like, photos that will blow your mind, but the one
clickbait.
Where... Yeah, that's what I was looking for, but you know, I'll admit, I get baited into clicking on stuff like that.
So do I.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a picture of, you know, like a map of Asia, and there's like a circle, like kind of in southeastern Asia, and it's like more people live inside this circle than outside of it. It's like, yeah, that's a whole area that hasn't heard of, you know, again, like the Bedford Auto Mile or whatever subs or... So it's like... I mean, most people in the world don't give a shit what we're doing here.
Right.
Unless it directly affects their bottom line. And I don't think the Bedford Auto Mile is creating that many jobs in Korea, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess as long as we keep outsourcing, it will affect to some degree their bottom line, but...
Yeah, the world famous call center.
Those are all in India now, though.
Well, there's some in the Philippines, and
there's
some in...
There's one in Middleburg Heights I've worked at for a while. Mm-hmm. For a few more weeks till I...
Going back to... Doing some acting, right?
Yeah, doing some acting back in my homeland for a few weeks.
What's it going to take?
Homeland. The world famous West Virginia.
See, that's... I mean, that's maybe a topic for another day, but I will say, like, West Virginia has such a stigma to it that, you know, there is... I mean, I'm not going to say I feel like an immigrant because, you know, I'm welcome most places, but it's like, you know, have to qualify everything as, yes, I'm from West Virginia, but I don't do this long list of things.
Yeah. West Virginia, the Obama of OxyContin. The Putin of Percocet.
What's funny is...
The Vlad of Vicodin.
Well, what's funny is if I hadn't grown up in West Virginia, I might actually be doing OxyContin now. Like
that's funny. I didn't grow up in West Virginia, and I was doing OxyContin a long time ago.
I think that's one of the things that, you know, scared me away from, like, just that drug in particular. Yeah. Is I know too many, you know, filthy white trash hillbillies doing it.
He just called me a filthy white trash hillbilly.
Well, I mean, he calls him like he sees him.
I know, just like it's like it was associated with, you know, a certain type of person, and it's like, oh, meanwhile, you know, I mean, acid and coke are associated with, you know, glamorous creative types that I want to be someday.
Yeah.
That it was a good idea.
Well, and ever since
acid was always a good idea.
Ever since the Jesco White documentary came out, like, that whole, like, stigma has gotten way worse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, without a doubt.
That's
not saying those people aren't fucked up. They are fucked up.
I hate to be a hillbilly hipster here, but I knew about Jesco White before
that DVD or whatever the fuck.
Well, like there was a public TV documentary in like 1990 that was like, I think it was just on like West Virginia public television, which, I mean, it was more focused on like his, you know, old timey mountain dancing, but
yeah.
they put in as much, you know, white trash antics as they could. And also too, you know, my father, who was a musician down there, he just happened into performing with Jesco one night. His band was playing at one of the rafting lodges down there, and Jesco just happened to wander in during a break, and he was like, "Hey, can I dance during your set?" And, I mean, this was like the late 80s. It was when I was a little kid. You know, no one really knew who he was at the time.
Yeah.
A couple of years later, the first documentary came out. It's like, shit, that's the guy we let on stage with us.
Yeah.
The West Virginia famous.
Oh, see, that's another person that, you know, people down there would claim is world famous.
Because he's been outside of West Virginia?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's physically been outside West Virginia, but a guy like that never leaves... I mean, he never left Boone County in his mind.
Well, I mean, the way I knew about them before that thing came out was because... And I can't recant the whole story. I've heard it from multiple people, but when he played, and I use my air quotes as always, Now That's Class... I've heard the story about, like, I've heard the story from the owner. I've heard the story from other people who were there that he brought his whole family. And I won't recant the whole thing because I don't need to. That's not my story. But it is fucking insanity, dude. Like, those people are fucking batshit crazy.
Well, that's another thing I just remembered, too. My freshman year roommate when I was at college at WVU, yeah, he was from Boone County, like, just a... literally just over the hill from Jesco, and his dad was a Boone County sheriff's deputy or something, and yeah, he had arrested Jesco on multiple occasions, and it's, again, too, like, this guy had, you know, the DVDs of the documentary, and that was kind of how we initiated the out-of-staters on our Florida West Virginia was, yeah, you're in the same state as this guy.
Yep. What does it take to be a world-famous holler in West Virginia?
I guess the right kind of marginally talented drug and gas huffing addict. that's actually what that's what my friend's dad had arrested him for was, which, I mean, to be fair, you gotta think, I mean, huffing gas, whose problem are you really besides yourself?
No, right. Like, that's something I don't understand how that's illegal or how why, like, if that's what you want to do with your time, go right the fuck ahead.
This is being spoken. Okay. Have you huffed gas, Nick Urich?
I have not.
Have you huffed gas, Jordan?
I've huffed shit. I don't know. I mean, are you talking straight gasoline?
I'm talking any
fumes?
Inhalants.
Yes.
Any inhalants whatsoever.
Yes, we've talked about it before.
I went through like a glue and paint phase in my younger and more vulnerable years.
Poppers.
Just to turn into a Scott Fitzgerald for a minute.
All right, so what's the difference between gasoline and all that shit?
Gasoline is well, no, those are flammable too.
Yeah, they're all flammable.
Gasoline's more expensive, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's easier to steal.
Gasoline
too.
Is a resource.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's we kill Arabs for gasoline. That's
I don't mean to laugh at that. Just like you said Arabs, and I thought back to whoever was on the show that one time. You're like, thank God he didn't say Arabs.
Yeah.
I mean, it does work back around, though, because there's another group of people that, the shit that's world famous.
World famous ISIS? Like, is that what you're talking about?
Well, it's like, again, like, people in Iraq, like, I mean, again, they don't know about, the Bedford Auto Mile, except for maybe, I guess maybe some Humvees were purchased there that ran over someone's granduncle, so... I mean, that's how they would know. It's, again, like, the bottom line to my hatred of this phrase is, I mean, and maybe this is too just rooted in my own existential bullshit, but anytime someone fails so miserably to realize how fucking big the world is...
Yeah, dude.
It's like, I mean, I struggle to matter sometimes, like... in my own hometown or on my street. It's like, what makes you think you matter to, 6 billion people? Again, most of whom are in, a small area of Southeast Asia, making your fucking sneakers.
Yeah.
It's like...
Well, I mean, that's where you find the phrase world champion applied to every sporting event in this great country of ours.
I was thinking about that concept too, and I think early on too, like, the phrase that bugged me as a kid, and I can kind of understand at least that this is, I mean, people from all over the world do come to play in professional sports in this country, so it makes a little more sense, but at the same time, yeah, like, I mean, I feel like we wouldn't have a true World Series unless we were at least, like, putting our champion against, Japan or Cuba or,
It's the one time when the amateur version of the sport, in this case, the Little League, has more legitimacy than the Professional League because actually a World Series in the Little League World Series.
Like, I'm not a soccer fan at all. By any means, but, like, there's legitimacy there because it's actually a world fucking sport.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they play for a World Cup. Like, I mean, it even goes as far as, like, how stupid, like, I always bring it back to wrestling. Like, the WWE World Championship says who?
Well,
Vince fucking McMahon?
Well, too, like, I keep hearing from, one of my roommates is way, way into wrestling, and he will not stop going on about New Japan, which I imagine you of all people are familiar with them.
Yeah. And, yes.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, how is it a world champion unless you're at least including, that outfit?
Absolutely.
Well, they're the IWGP champion in New Japan.
Yeah. Because they show respect to, it's the same thing. It's not just wrestling, it's not just WWE. I mean, it's the NFL. Like the Super Bowl champions. What do they call them? Call them the world champs or the Cavaliers. The world champion. Like, okay, I guess. What about? I mean, and granted, most of the other countries that play mostly Americanized sports aren't as good, unless you're going to talk about hockey, where like Canada's really good. It's still North America, but you go to Iceland, any of those fucking Eastern Northern European countries. They're really good at hockey, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they made that clear in the second Mighty Ducks movie. See, that should be the template for really addressing who is world champion. It's like, yeah,
if don't Disney
forget,
makes a movie.
Like, oh, dude, I mean,
they made Trinidad look like motherfuckers in that movie.
I mean, gosh, you gotta think too. I mean, if football were as big in some of those countries, I mean, imagine, you know, 11 big ass Nordic motherfuckers up against, I mean,
Vikings. Call them what they are, fucking Vikings.
Yeah, it's like literal Vikings versus the Minnesota Vikings or fuck.
Oh my god, I want to see that so bad. Right
yeah,
now.
Actually, now that I mentioned it, like, who do I have to fuck to make that happen?
Yeah. I just want to see Adrian Peterson get his Achilles tendons chopped.
Did you hear who he got traded to?
Who?
I don't know if he got traded or he just got picked up. The fucking New Orleans Saints.
All right. Good for them.
Really?
And they got Ted Ginn Jr. too.
All right. Well, that's not breaking sports news, but that's the last of that. Thank you.
I mean, you got to love that, you know, a guy like that is easier for him to find a team than, you know, a guy who gives millions of dollars to youth charities but knelt during a song before a game.
Oh, yeah. And I never liked him either. But, like, I respect him way more now.
See, I like him better because he's so hated now because, I mean, he's just such a perfect, you know, poster boy for the hypocrisy that's happening
now. Oh, yeah,
now.
Without a doubt.
I mean, you know, too, like, I mean, when he was leading the 49ers in you know, the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I mean, I just liked someone bringing the 49ers back into the game.
I never did, but let's just leave that there.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, favorite teams are here nor there.
The world famous Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're America's team, which is kind of a microcosm of of this problem.
Yeah. Do you think Colin Kaepernick would have gotten enough as much shit if he played for the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, probably not.
I was going to say Colin Kaepernick's not white. He wouldn't play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, but Dak Prescott. Yep. I can't say that shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, I feel like, too, I mean, since he was in a city that's such a bastion of progressivism, you know, it was a little.
I mean, look, for you San Francisco listeners out there, I understand that you've got Castro, and I understand that, you know, you keep your rents high, and
that's true.
That's, you know, and you're California, so you think you're really progressive, but, you know, the vast majority of that money, of the money in that town, is still in the financial district, and it's still just as conservative as everywhere else.
Oh yeah, Transamerica still has a pyramid. I guess they're progressive in theory, but in reality, the proletariat can't pay rent out there.
Well, no. I was gonna say, what's the end game out there? Shear just said it. That's fucking money. So it doesn't matter if you're gay if you have the fucking money.
Oh yeah,
you're welcome.
Yeah,
yeah. But it was I lived out there for a little bit, and you know, I was fortunate enough to be living with my parents. But, you know, most of the people that, because, you know, once I figured out that college wasn't really for me, I was like, well, time to enter the workforce. And what do when you're, you know, under 21 with no degree and no actual job experience and nepotism has failed you? You enter into retail. And you make a little more money out in California when you're working retail, but still didn't pay the rent. Because I had friends that were sleeping in Walmart parking lots, you know, on a full-time, you know, $9 an hour salary, which, you know, at the time was like, I tried to get that money transferred when I moved back here, and they were like, no, like, we're giving you a $3 an hour pay cut. I don't know what the fuck you're thinking. And then there was a guy I knew that was paying like $900 a month to sleep on his sister's couch, and it was, that was like not even half the rent for a one bedroom apartment. So yeah, it's ridiculously expensive out there.
I'm staying in Cleveland where bombs can't hit you and it's cheap.
See, honestly, like Cleveland is about the same price as where I grew up in West Virginia.
Yeah,
but
I know it's all very,
there's shit to do and
it's
opportunities.
The same thing with Michigan. Like Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, and part of Pennsylvania is generally the same kind of price range.
By the way, don't come to the Midwest. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, we don't want you. It has nothing to do with who you are. It's just that we don't want anybody else.
Nope. We have enough already.
Yeah, we're good.
We got enough already. This is Cleveland's great. We've got a whole bunch of immigrants here. We don't need your waspy asses coming and fucking shit up.
We especially don't need more comics. Like, I like enough of the ones.
No,
we have.
I'm starting to develop. I don't want to say a list for better, you know, lack of a better word, but some people's gonna start going.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have enough that I like, and yeah, we could we have more than enough.
I want to become like this, just like guru. People are like, people come after me. Like, yep, you're good enough. Go on, go right to L.A. Yep, you go right to New York. You to Chicago. Get the fuck out of my city.
Because the thing that worries me is, you know, I go back and forth between being one of the ones that would stay and one of the ones that wouldn't make the cut. It really depends on, you know, how.
Oh, Nick, you're allowed in Cleveland forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're fine.
You're not a cunt.
I do find that my comedy prowess is very dependent on the kind of week I've had and how much I have found myself needing to drink before I go up.
That's always a problem.
When you realize that there are times in your life you've maybe been too hungover to have a career.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to become world famous as the guy that is too hungover to say words.
Oh, yeah. That's.
I've been locally famous for that.
Yeah. Now you're kind of world famous. You know? And looking at the numbers.
Again, truly world famous is always for something shitty.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I mean, if Bill Hicks had, you know, sobered up and, you know, done groundbreaking work, yeah, the thing he was most known for was, you know, passing out on stage and, you know, doing the last half of his set just laying down screaming.
Well, I mean, there's another guy that was world famous, and the reason for that, I think, is because, like, he crossed the pond and did really well over there.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, during his lifetime, he had more success in England. Like, that's where arguably his best special, Revelations, was shot. And, yeah, because at the time, they didn't fucking get it in America. Like, mm-hmm. I mean.
Well, I was just reading on Bill Burr, you know, we were talking about, went and saw him last night. I was reading on his, like, bio that, dude, when he goes over to Europe, he sells out places, like, he sells out arenas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like 20,000 fucking, well, 15 to 20,000 people. You don't do that here.
No. I mean, gosh, I struggle to think of a comic who does fill arenas.
Kevin Hart, Amy Schumer, I mean, anybody on that top.
Well, yeah.
Top tier of, like, people. And those people all make movies, too. So, like.
I guess it's more that, you know, you don't always picture comics over here, you know, performing in arenas. It's in, you know, like, I guess.
I mean, Chris Rock. I don't think he still does, but he used to. Yeah. I mean, like, Bigger and Blacker was filmed at Madison Square Garden, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like,
or Never Scared. One of
them.
Oh, yeah,
was, and, Aziz did a special. Aziz Ansari did one at Madison Square Garden. So, yeah, I guess it does happen. Just, you know, the
but
image I have
it,
in my head
comics,
is, you know.
Those,
like,
comics
people
are all
in,
movie,
like,
stars, too.
Yeah.
TV stars.
It's like the image I have in my head is, you know, maybe filling, like, a storied old theater somewhere.
Like 2,000, maybe 3,000 people, you know?
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, I mean, I think that gives us an idea of what actually constitutes world famous is, are you in movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Because movies are the one export that, like, everybody gets.
Yeah.
I mean, not Saudi Arabia necessarily, but, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's. Where it is legal, yeah. I mean, people do love American movies worldwide.
Yeah. So if your product is placed in American movies, then you can, like, Pepsi's world famous, Coke is world famous, KFC is world famous.
Oh, yeah.
McDonald's is anything world like that, yeah.
Again, only shitty things are world famous.
Yeah. Well, that's, I was, like, I was.
The food that's gonna fucking kill you in 20 years is what's world famous.
When we were talking about, like, you just that the phrase world famous is, like, I don't know why this kept popping into my head, but the as seen on TV thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, as, like, because most of that shit that you see is like, you can't buy this in stores. And then there's a fucking as you seen on TV fucking aisle at every Walgreens you walk into.
Well, that's another phrase, too, that I think is going to ultimately become meaningless within the next decade or two, just as, you know, TV gets geared more and more toward, you know, streaming subscriptions, yeah. You know, yeah, you're not gonna see, you know, you're not gonna have to wade through those, you know, commercials for, you know, things that make everyday tasks that shouldn't be that difficult that much easier.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you say that things are gearing more towards streaming, but, you know, there's still, like, a large population in this country that relies on dial-up internet and watches free TV.
They still make dial-up internet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The AOL discs are still out there.
There's no fucking way.
I'm sending an email right now to a guy with an AOL.com email address.
Jesus.
It's funny, actually, you should mention that, because I was about to say, well, yeah, but those are all, you know, old people in rural areas and whatever. But yeah, that's almost like the opposite problem to what I have with, you know, world famous, you know, excluding, you know, third world countries and, you know, the Arab world. It's like, and I just excluded, you know, old rural white people.
Yeah. Well, maybe they should be excluded.
Well, yeah, that's...
For once.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Yeah. That's the thing that, you know, I keep going back and forth about with this election, because it's like, yeah, you know, the Democrats fucked up by, we don't need to get their votes. If we call them racist, they'll see the error of their ways. It's like, you know, just because what you say is true doesn't mean that you can govern the country without getting some of those people on your side.
Well, one of the best, most recent memes or whatever that I saw, or GIFs or whatever, it was when you tell a Trump supporter that, you know, that in his first 100 days he said he was going to, it was a list of shit he said he was going to do, yeah. Hasn't done any of it, and then it's just a GIF of Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber with his ear, fingers plugging his ears going la 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 la.
Oh yeah,
like that's exactly what it is. That's why I don't talk politics with people, because it's fucking pointless.
Yeah,
I mean,
because if it's people you agree with, then you're like, oh yeah, this just fucking sucks. And if it's people that you disagree with, you're like, well, you're a fucking idiot. So it's like, no, neither one gets you anywhere.
I mean, one thing that's been pleasantly surprising to me lately is, like, how many people from back in West Virginia who I disagree with on almost everything have actually, I've managed to have some pretty, civil and, productive conversations with. Because, you know, I mean, it's people down there don't know me as, you know, this just always angry, liberal, pointy-headed, progressive comic. You know, they know me as...
I thought you were going to say communist.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true to some degree, too. But, you know, I mean, they know me as, you know, just the fun guy they went to high school with who, you know, fucked off a few years ago. But, so, I could at least get those people on a level where, you know, they're not attacking me so much as... Yeah. It's like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but this and this and this. It's like, yeah, you know, I know you. I know you're not an out-and-out racist, but you come off as racist for these reasons. Yeah. And, yeah, it's like, I don't know, when those people are human beings to you, it goes a long way.
Right.
I mean.
It does. You know, when people with shitty opinions are polite, it makes you forget they're cunts.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why John Kasich got as far as he did.
Oh, and I mean, I'm not saying that they're not cunts necessarily, but you can get them to come around to less cunty points of view, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's a slow process. So I think the big question there, since you brought up the fact that, you know, you were that that fun guy from high school that fucked off, do you think the move west to Cleveland is just as impressive to them as moving to L.A.?
Not necessarily, but what I'm actually doing up here is, I think, more impressive than what I was actually doing out there. Because, I mean, what I set out to do was more impressive, but, I mean, I was honestly an abject failure at making anything happen in L.A., so...
It's a tough city, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that I am, you know, doing, you know, acting work and comedy consistently up here, I mean, that's it's something at least. It's like, I mean, I'm not world famous by any means, but
what are you gonna have to do in order to become world famous?
He doesn't want to be.
Oh,
I mean, you know, we've acknowledged that this is a phrase that can be used to distinguish yourself and possibly to, you know, your shit is mass producible enough to be sent out into the world. So what does Nick Yurick have to do in order to be world famous?
Well, it's like there's a couple options here. I mean, the most obvious is kill someone.
Okay.
But I'm not going to do that.
Are you sure? I've got a list of names.
I'll see where my life is at 40 in 10 years. And yeah, I mean, that's going to be the point where I've exhausted all other options for meaning in my life. But there's still a lot more left. But
I think we're confusing world famous and world infamous.
Oh, yeah, that's possible. No,
I still don't know which one I'd want to be.
See, another part of, you know, going back to the whole issue with, you know, fucking realize how big the world is. I mean, I'm becoming content with the fact that I can never be world famous and just, you know, almost reveling in the fact that, you know, most of what I do is never going to matter on a large scale. It's just about, you know, doing work that I'm proud of and that means something to people whose opinions matter to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, like, you know, I made that post after the last Sad Boys show about, you know, I can't remember being more proud of the work I'm doing than right now. I mean, I meant that because it's me doing stuff I believe in that, you know, is viewed positively by people whose opinions I respect.
And you wrote the best sketch on that show.
Well, funny thing about that sketch is it was good because it was just a throwaway idea. And,
oh, it was so funny.
You know, that's the shit that I struggle with as a comic, too. It's like, oh, was it really that good when it didn't convey the essence of my being? And it's like, no, just stop trying to convey the essence of your fucking being. And yeah.
You make people laugh. Somebody came up to me after the show and said, that sketch belongs on Saturday Night Live. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, you're right. It was great.
And listeners, if you want to see that sketch, you'll have to catch the Sad Boys. When, Jeremy?
We will be at Stone Tavern at Michelle's Lounge Saturday, May 20th. Doors at 8, show at 8:30. Music to follow us. There is a roast battle taking place on that show between Jason Moliterno of Youngstown, Ohio.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah, very excellent. Funny.
I roast battled him out in Youngstown, and he made me work. That guy can write.
Oh, yeah.
And A.J. Georgie, who...
another great comic.
That'll be good.
Yeah, he's from...
Former guest of the show?
Yeah. We had A.J. on to talk about Zach Hudak.
I gotta say, I really like about both of those guys the fact that, you know, They're socially conscious to some degree, but they don't, you know, get mired in it. And, I mean, that's something I admire because, you know, I mean, I try and have that bent in my act, but, you know, I'm self-indulgent about it and neither of them are.
Well, it really comes across with Moliterno because it seems like he's making more of an effort with a lot of his material to not be so, like, you know, the dog whistle doesn't come up immediately to be like, okay, this is only for the people in my bubble.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, neither of those guys, and yeah, Moliterno especially, I mean, they're not shy about, you know, where they stand on things, but their act isn't about that.
No.
It's again, just being fucking funny.
Yeah. And, we'll be having a, set from Kristen Galewood of Unsuitable Language. She's, we have access to a projector and a screen, and if you are familiar at all with the history of Northeast Ohio comedy, Kristen Galewood used to do a thing where she would make these amazing cartoons. I hesitate to call them cartoons, but...
Animations?
They weren't animations. They were just they were single drawings. Like, the first time I saw her at the Funny Stop, she was doing this, and they were on an easel, and she would flip the easel, and they're hilarious, and she would, like, just go on and describing them, and eventually it got to the point where Kristen's playing bigger rooms, and you couldn't see the drawings. because, you know, she's doing them all by hand. So now those drawings are on a medium where we can actually, you can see them. And I'm really looking forward to everybody taking a look at that.
Well,
so
I'm looking very forward to that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen her do that particular.
Oh, it was.
I feel like I only run into her like a couple of times a year, but
that's what it is with her. But she she's very creative. She's very funny. She's one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yeah, and, I mean, she's never failed to deliver the times I've seen her.
Yeah, so that's going to be happening, and then. It's looking like we'll be making our Funny Stop debut on Tuesday, May 23rd. That one's not free. That one's a $5 cover, but...
But worth it.
Absolutely. Give the fucking money.
Give us money.
It's funny. I used to always want to get shit for free, and I'll have a million people call me out for that, because I did. And this is a shithead, you know, kid. And it's like, fuck that. Support your friend's art. So, you know what I mean? Like, I hate when people just want shit for fucking all the time.
Yeah,
I used to be that way. I'm like, I won't deny it. Like, I like to own everything shitty that I ever was. And fucking, if you want to, like, go support it. If you don't want to, if don't, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
But fucking support your friends, man.
Well, it's like,
especially
if
they're good.
You know, being in the impoverished state I am, I love to go to things for free. But when you have an opportunity to support something, even if it's, you know, just a couple bucks,
right.
It's like, you know. Your friends and the art that you believe in are worth that, you know. It's I mean, I can smoke fewer cigarettes for a day. I mean, that's $5 right there.
I can't.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's easy for me.
Nobody's making you pay for shit anyway, so.
Well, okay.
I mean, as far as going to shows and stuff.
I mean, I try to support
you. You do. And 9 times out of 10, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you did kind of fund the I guess inception of the Sad Boys out of pocket for a while, so that's paying some dues.
I've literally paid dues. That'll be in the next couple weeks. You'll see exactly what I mean, but
it's coming.
I'm gonna be shaking my little change jar, so to speak.
But in a good way.
Yeah, it's in a good
way. In a world famous way.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, we're world famous enough where we can convert yen and rubles and euros into dollars.
I'll fucking take wampum at this point. I don't care.
Yeah. It doesn't matter to me.
Actually, I mean, cigarettes in prison—that's currency. So.
Most prisons are smoke free now.
Well, yeah, I guess that's only
pretty soon. You're gonna see me and Jeremy fucking standing outside some show with a semi truck full of fucking cigarettes, selling and smoking them at the same time.
Oh man, yeah, let's get that done.
That's how we'll make our first million.
That's how,
cigarettes.
We'll knock off cigarette trucks.
I mean, to be honest, like one of my roommates, anytime I give her a ride anywhere, she always asks, do you want gas money or cigarettes? So I think that says more about me. You think it's like, well, yeah, if you give me cigarettes, that's, you know, $6 less I have to spend. So, you know, it works out.
Yeah. If you want to Venmo Nick some money for cigarettes, do you have Venmo yet?
No, I don't think I've even heard of Venmo.
Well,
it's not world famous enough for me to know about it.
It's pretty world famous now, but, yeah, so the world famous Sad Boys Social Club. we have videos on the internet. We can call ourselves world famous, right? Even though it's a hateable thing.
We got some videos we're working on.
Yeah, we do. There's a lot we're working
on. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff coming. A lot of content coming from this table alone now.
The longer this goes on, the more I realize maybe my hatred of this phrase is more a reflection on my own insecurities. It's like, fuck it, I'm never going to do anything that matters. You don't get to either.
Just Nick Yerk sitting there like, oh, fuck, I'll never be Hitler, so.
All art is masturbatory, so, you know, keep jerking off long enough, you'll come a rainbow that makes everyone love each other.
In a world where Andy Warhol can get world famous, why can't I?
You know, it's just a matter of stretching your little bubble. That's my theory anyway. I think, You know, I try to stay up on things in all of the markets that we're popular in.
See, I think it was actually maybe easier to be world famous back in the Andy Warhol days, as that era is known, than it is now. And even though there's more outlets, just the market is flooded with...
Flooded, yeah.
You know, I mean... And
you gotta be extra good.
I mean, I don't like getting on the bandwagon of, oh, my generation's a bunch of, you know, special snowflakes that think they're so important. But, you know, I think ever since the advent of social media, everyone's been getting high on the drug of...
themselves.
Yeah, like the... I guess the illusion that you matter is the opiate of the masses. It's like, oh, don't fucking take the illusion, opiate, you know.
The only illusion that I matter to in general is that I matter to me. Like, I, yeah. Like my, and like, I mean, I say that as a joke, but at the same time, like, it's no secret.
Well, that's how it's supposed to be, though. Like, ego, I mean, myself. Do the shit that matters to yourself, right. And you know, it's just. I mean, people are in such a hurry to get, you know, YouTube or Instagram famous. It's like,
we want to get podcast famous.
Please follow our Instagram at The Hate Flow. Twitter, yeah, I mean, The Hate Flow. Facebook.
This is by no means safe.
Yeah, that's where you get into the great irony of
Facebook.
The
Hate Flow.
Like, you know, yeah, follow the shit that me and my friends are a part of, but, you know, don't be so taken in by social media celebrities, but secretly make me and my friends into social media celebrities. And it's all just a cyclical circle jerk, and, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I guess I only feel better about myself because I acknowledge it. And I think if everyone did, we could just get down to the brass tacks of what the fuck are you actually creating and what's the merit and who is it really going to matter to?
I think if one thing you can figure out from this podcast is that we're trying to figure out how to own our shit.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's a fact.
So
it's funny, but it's a fact.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the long and short of it is Nick isn't famous, so he hates the phrase world famous.
That's okay. I mean, it's the same fucking thing. I'd say 90% of this show has come down to, at the end of it, like, you hate this because you're not it.
Right. I mean, is this just an experiment in getting people to realize awful things about themselves?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know why that wasn't obvious the moment you two in particular started this.
Yeah, well,
because we're both cunts.
Yeah.
Two of the most hateful comics in Cleveland. It's like, yeah, it'll be fun. We'll hate stuff. It's like, what we're really teaching you is to hate yourself. And it's like, yeah. Oh, man, I thought I was good at that. Now I found a new way to.
Yeah. Yeah. So now would be a good time to remind people that you can submit to be on the show, learn things about yourself, thehateflow@gmail.com. Some things that I need to cover. Because we've been getting more submissions as thank you, Cleveland.com, for writing us up.
Yeah, thank you very much.
But pitch one thing that you want to come on and talk about. If you're going to say, I hate everything, we're probably not going to have you on.
I'm not going to work to have you on the show.
Yeah. So, like, think of a thing, pitch it. We love meeting new people, and we love having everybody on that we can.
I mean, dude, Britt Fox, we had no idea who she was.
No idea.
Like, and she hit us up and she came on and she fucking crushed.
Yeah. So, but, you know, have an idea. And, like, we can't just, like, we're not going to make the idea for you. Mm-mm. I mean, I wanted to have Nick on the podcast pretty much since we started, but Nick came to me with an idea and that's why he's here.
And so. I'm more the one to go out and talk to people and be like, oh, hey, you know, you'd be good on the show. And my question always is, what do you want to talk about? You know, so if you can't come up with something, like, then you don't need to be on. Like, that's fine.
It's funny, the awful realization I just had, too, is, yeah, I think I pitched this particular idea to you, like, hey, a month or two ago, and all the time since then, and, you know, thinking about how I would talk about this, I never got around to the conclusion I've drawn that, oh, wait a minute, this isn't me hating the Bedford Auto Mile or some sandwich shop, this is me, you know, struggling with my own,
Insecurities.
But I mean, we learned something important though. I mean, that's where most hate comes from.
Well, the thing is, like, that, you know, you say, "Oh, we teach people how to hate themselves," but no, we are teachers.
Right, because I mean, first
we
it was
are
like
professors of hate.
Oh, I'm gonna make a big statement about world famous just means white people famous, and if you use that phrase, you don't care about Africa. Says look how progressive I am.
It's says like, the three white guys.
Yeah, it's like. Oh, gosh, how much time have I really put into caring about Africa lately? I sing We Are the World at karaoke every so often, and that's about it.
Well, that is as white of an activist statement as you can make. Before we get going, we need to give shouts out to the world-famous Pete Melk at Milky Way Recordings. Yeah. He is available for all your recording needs. He is an audio wizard. And our
and it is homie for homies.
It is homie for homies in here. We do love it at Milky Way Recordings. Also, shout out to Sam Holmes. She did our logo. You can find her on the Instagram. That's Sam Holmes, like you live in, not Holmes, like you hang with. And new sponsor on the network, Aqueduct Brewing, the world famous Aqueduct Brewing on Grant Street in Akron. They've hosted a lot of comedy shows in the past with Neomaniacal Comedy Studios, Sarah Jones's outfit there
it's
in Akron.
It's a really fun show, too. Like
yeah.
I did it a while back.
So did I. And I got to open for Blanchard, which I hadn't done in a while, so that awesome. Was a lot of fun. And, they have a mixed media open mic there. So there's if you're an artist, check them out. Aqueduct Brewing.
All right. So, now this is something Sheer and I have agreed upon that we will not do for free.
Nope.
So this is something I wanted to plug just because the man is very, very nice. UXWA Heavyweight Championship match. It's coming up on Brooklyn, Ohio, which is right down the street from me, May 13th, 2017. It's at 4470 Ridge Road. The heavyweight championship match is Eric Ryan versus The Duke. It's called Big Trouble in Little Brooklyn.
All right.
And I'd like to give a shout out to Jeff Sharp, the man who runs all that. He's a nice guy, and hopefully we get to work with him in the future. We won't be able to make it to that show, but if you can, you should definitely go. Once again, it is May 13th, 2017, Big Trouble in Little Brooklyn.
Big Trouble in Little Brooklyn. And we will be at the Lousy Weather Media Basement Comedy Show.
That night,
Sad Boy Mike Calhoun is opening for Accidental Comedy's Cody Cooper and WMMS's Bill Squire.
In a basement.
In a basement.
Wait, which night is that again?
The Saturday, May 13th.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to try and go to that.
You should. They are a fucking blast.
Yeah.
I haven't made it down to Akron in a while. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff that happens down there.
Lousy Weather's doing a ton of it. Chad Weaver's doing a ton of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that. I mean, the fucking Lousy Weather shows are so fucking good.
It's amazing.
You can go online and look up a Sheer set from there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's all I can say. I'm not just sucking his dick because he's my friend. Like, it's really fucking good, and it's really funny.
Yeah, I've got some audio of that that's coming out pretty soon on the Lousy Weather mixtape. I just got confirmation on that today. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so Jeremy Sheer's resume will be a track on the mixtape, so look out for that.
Famous resume.
Yeah, my world famous resume. I think it's been seen in Scotland and Japan, so who knows. So Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates the phrase world famous as much as Nick Yurick.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again! I'm a rampant offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Drunkenness. I keep my brood in my brain and under the punches, and I was meant to
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.